This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Enjoy. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak. Firearms without serial numbers, ghost guns, are increasingly being confiscated in connection to crimes nationwide. Later in the show, we're going to talk with a state representative who wants to better regulate ghost guns in Vermont by making them easier to trace. We'll learn about the possible challenges of enforcing a law like this and discuss the ghost guns case that the U.S. Supreme Court is taking up. But first, measles are back in the news. A case of measles has been identified in Vermont for the first time since 2018. Measles were declared eradicated from the U.S. nearly 25 years ago. So why is it back? Here to discuss is Patsy Kelso, Vermont's state epidemiologist. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. Patsy, what are measles? What happens when you get them?
Measles is the most contagious viral respiratory disease that we know about. It's easily spread from one person to another through the air. The virus lives in our mucous membranes of our nose and throat and can hang around in the air for up to 2 hours after someone with measles leaves a room. So it's very easily spread. But the great news is it's almost 100% preventable through vaccination.
Right. And we'll get to vaccination in just a moment. But first, tell us more about the symptoms of measles. How can someone know if they might have it?
Yeah, measles typically starts with fever, cough, runny nose, red eyes, and then a few days later, the typical measles rash. And those symptoms usually start about a week or so after exposure. And the average time it takes to develop the rash from when you're exposed is about 14 days, but it can range from 7 to 21 days.
How often are people hospitalized for measles?
Not very often. There's a low likelihood of having a severe illness, but it certainly does happen. I'd have to look up the data to see how often people are hospitalized, but very young children are at higher risk of being hospitalized and having severe complications from measles.
And as you mentioned earlier, there is a vaccine for measles. Tell us about it.
There is. The vaccine has been around for a very long time. It's safe and very effective. Two doses are recommended. The first is around 12 to 15 months of age, and then the second dose usually around age 4 to 6 years. And a single dose of the vaccine is about 93% effective at preventing measles. And if you have two doses, that's about 97% effective.
So how can somebody check and see if they are already vaccinated? Perhaps they don't know.
There are a few ways. You can check your vaccination records, which you might have at home. You know, maybe your parent, because measles vaccines are typically given when you're a young child, you know, your parents might have a handwritten or some old document that they can share with you. You can also check the immunization registry in Vermont. That doesn't have complete information for all adults in Vermont. The registry is only about 20 years old, so your records might not be in there, but it's worth checking. Otherwise, talk to your healthcare provider if you're not sure. Your healthcare provider might be able to help you find your records or even potentially do a blood test to see if you have immunity.
So despite this vaccination existing, being around for more than two decades, there are still measles in the United States. It does seem like there's been an uptick in the last few years. First, what do we know about this existing measles case in Vermont?
There is an uptick in the last year in the United States broadly. We are seeing a lot more measles in the U.S. than we have typically seen. And the majority of the cases in the United States are from Americans who are under or unvaccinated, travel overseas, and come back home and bring measles with them. What we saw in Vermont recently was a member of an international group came to Vermont. The group had been exposed to measles in their travels on their way here. Most of the group was immune to measles, so that's the great news, but a small number of them were not immune, and one of them developed measles.
And has there been any need to quarantine people that came in contact with him? Like, how many of the regulations that we know about from the COVID pandemic apply to something like measles?
A lot of them do apply. So what the health department routinely does with measles and COVID and other infectious diseases is when we identify someone with that disease, understanding the incubation period and how it's transmitted, we do a form of contact tracing like we did with COVID, looking back at any close contacts that person might have had during the period when they were infectious with that disease. And then we notify those people, reach out to them, assess whether they're immune, and then monitor them for the incubation period, 21 days for measles. And that just means, you know, a daily check-in to say, how are you feeling? Have you developed any symptoms? If so, we can facilitate testing at the health department laboratory to see if their symptoms are due to measles or something else. If people are not immune, quarantine, you know, is recommended for that incubation period of 21 days after their last contact when the case was infectious, just to make sure that they're not developing symptoms and spreading it, you know, before we even know they have measles.
Sure. And of course, state borders are highly permeable. Do we know of any other measles cases in the region outside of Vermont?
Not in recent history, no. There have been clusters and cases in New York State in recent years. There's a rather large outbreak ongoing in Chicago right now. A lot of states have reported cases in the last year or so, but there's not anything sort of near our borders that's making us concerned. The thing about measles is it's really easily spread from person to person, and it can spread 4 days before someone with measles even has a rash and knows that they have measles. So that's why it's important just to make sure you know your vaccination status, be up to date on your vaccine. And that way, if you do encounter a case through travel or otherwise, you don't really have anything to worry about.
And it does look like there have been, in Quebec, 49 confirmed cases of measles reported since the beginning of 2024.
That's right. There's a bit of an outbreak in the Montreal and surrounding areas right now. So that's another thing Vermonters should be aware of if you're traveling to Quebec or are around people who travel to Quebec. Again, know that measles is around more than we're used to right now. And the best thing to do is make sure you're protected by the vaccine.
And globally, you know, need to cite specific statistics here, but you know, as we're talking about this region where there's such a low number of measles, it's very different than the picture globally. How much of an impact does measles still have outside of North America?
Yeah, there are certain countries where there's a fair amount of measles spreading. There's a number of countries in Europe that have had ongoing measles cases and transmission for the last several years. So there's a tool on the CDC's website where if you're planning international travel, you can check it out. And depending on where you're planning to go, you can see how much measles activity there is. And there are specific recommendations for people who are traveling about vaccination in particular. As I said, the first dose of measles vaccine is usually given at age 12 to 15 months. But infants who are not yet old enough to get that usual first dose can get their first dose early if they are going to travel internationally.
Hmm. Now, during the COVID epidemic, there was heated national debate around vaccinations. Some claimed falsely that COVID vaccinations were not effective in protecting against the illness. And there was also widespread pushback in some communities against vaccination requirements. From your seat as the state's epidemiologist, do you believe that the COVID epidemic has had a measurable impact on vaccination rates for other diseases like measles? Is this something we have data on?
We do have data, and the data is actually publicly available on the Health Department website. So you can look at the data for schools and childcares. And the good news is most parents in Vermont are vaccinating their kids against measles before they enter kindergarten. Our rates overall are about 93% for kids entering kindergarten. But because measles is so easily spread, you need to have about 95% of a community vaccinated in order to prevent spread of measles. So we're doing a great job in Vermont, but there's a little bit more work that we could be doing to get those rates up just a little bit higher.
Do you know how that 93% compares nationally?
It's right in line with many other states. That data is also available on the CDC website if people are interested to see how our rates compare. But our rates are good. They're probably among the highest, but certainly not the very highest and not quite what we'd like to see them be.
Yeah. And do you think there has been a change since the COVID epidemic? Perhaps not one measurable in data, but I don't know, changes in conversations you're a part of around vaccinations?
There were some published studies that showed that in particular in other states, routine childhood vaccinations dropped off a bit during the COVID pandemic, probably mostly because routine doctor's visits were postponed or delayed or not as easily accessible because of all the, in-person activities that were curtailed. So I don't know that it has directly anything to do with hesitancy as opposed to just access during the pandemic. Hmm. Thankfully, in Vermont, we've looked at our data and we haven't seen significant decreases. Although, of course, there's always a little bit of room for improvement in our vaccination rates across the board, not just for measles.
Well, we got a question from a listener named James who wants to know how someone could safely and legally get an MMR vaccine or booster, measles, mumps, rubella, if the party controlling their access to health care denies it. And I believe James is in part perhaps referring to minors whose parents might not want them to get vaccinated, but they want to get vaccinated themselves.
Oh, that's a really good question. I'd have to look at what the age of consent is in Vermont. I'm not sure what is the age at which a minor in Vermont could consent to their own vaccination, regardless of, what their parents wanted. I don't honestly know the answer to that question, but it's a really good one because I think that does come up from time to time.
Well, we will try to find the answer to that question, either mention it later in our show today or on vermontpublic.org in the write-up for today's conversation. State Epidemiologist Patsy Kelso, I do want to ask you briefly about some other news in your area of specialty, bird flu, avian flu. A handful of states have detected bird flu traces, essentially, in dairy cattle and milk. For folks who might have seen headlines about this, what should they know?
The most important thing to know is that the milk supply is safe. People might be seeing stories about finding this H5N1 influenza virus in milk. And what that says is that the genetic tests they're able to do can find fragments of the H5N1 virus in milk, but that's very different from finding a live virus in milk that can be transmitted to you through drinking milk. We are not seeing that. So pasteurization, the heating of milk that's available commercially, kills influenza viruses, and the milk is safe. What we're concerned about and following is we've been seeing this H5N1 virus circulating in wild birds and poultry. It's been all over the news for several years now, including in Vermont, because the virus is mostly circulating in wild birds and then occasionally impacts backyard flocks or commercial poultry flocks. What we've seen recently is about 34 herds of dairy cattle in 9 different states having evidence of this H5N1 infection. And the good news is the dairy cattle are not highly symptomatic. It doesn't present the same way as it does in birds, where there are mass die-offs of wild birds or poultry. The cows have some decreased milk production and go off feed a little bit and have minor symptoms. So we're starting to see that. We're watching it closely to see if the virus has any genetic changes that suggest that it's more easily spread from animal to animal. And there's no evidence of that yet. So it's something we're watching closely to see what evolves and to see whether there's any new recommendations for human health. Right now, the risk to human health is still considered to be very low.
All right, well, that's very good to hear. Vermont State Epidemiologist Patsy Kelso, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Michaela.